Good day, citizens of the free world. From border to border, coast to coast, and to all the ships at sea, I bring you a warm welcome. This is your correspondent, Jim Tate, and thank you for tuning into the Tate Chronicles. Please join me as we cut through the fog that exists at the leading edge of healthcare technology. Our mission is simple: searching for beneficial disruption in healthcare from emerging technologies. My guest today is Bud Zabrowski. Bud brings a wealth of experience in business strategy and project execution, especially in healthcare. He's recently been involved with blockchain use cases in healthcare, in genomic data networks, and precision medicine business startups. I met Bud at the recent Distributed Health Conference in Nashville, and I'm very proud to say that I easily defeated him in a barbecue rib eating contest. Bud, thanks for joining me and our audience on this episode of the Tate Chronicles.
Thanks, Jim. And you are the best. I really appreciate your insights, especially with barbecue ribs.
Well, I tell you, I had to pay the price, but, you know, when you're going for the gold, there's no limit.
We had a lot of fun there.
Yeah. Here's what I want to talk about and get your insights to. There are a lot of different disruptive trends in healthcare today. And there's four major areas I would like to discuss with you and get your insight on. So if you don't mind, we'll just jump right in it and kind of move through, and hopefully we can get all these covered in our short time together. But the first area is, the disruptive potential in healthcare for technology. This is everything from smartphones to telemedicine to EMRs, AI, Internet of Things, and blockchain. And so it seems like there's a lot of things that are going on right now that are really going to be disruptive to healthcare just on the technological side. Your thoughts on that, please.
Well, technology, yeah, good. That's a good one. From my view, Jim, technology is the visual. You know, everybody can touch and feel technology and really get a very positive sense of what's going to happen in the future for healthcare. And there's so many exciting things happening very, very quickly. It should make everyone feel very comfortable. That's the good news. And on the other side of the tracks, with technology, as you know, comes a lot of excitement, but it's also how do we put those things into play? And that's where the rubber meets the road. So, you know, when you look at technology, there's two things that are important to realize. It's all about information or data. The technology that is being put together. I just read an article about a telestroke or a stroke now, and there's a window of opportunity when you have an ischemic stroke, which is 6 hours, and that now is expanded to 24 hours. So if it is not a non-hemorrhagic stroke, it puts so much more opportunity in play. And for example, Philips is doing a world of good, and others, in bringing these technologies out. So that's happening. That's real world stuff that's coming to the forefront. When we get to some of these, all the ones that are looked at now revolve around data, I think. And when you have data, it has to go somewhere, and it has to do something.
Well, you know, one thing about technology is, we'll give an example, electronic medical records, that software code that helps document and encounters and maybe generate alerts and clinical decision support, things like that, where the intention of the product is to be used in healthcare. But then we have these other things that are being leveraged. A great example to me is like, our smartphones. Well, when the smartphone came into place, people put a camera in them, and suddenly I'm sure camera sales just fell off a cliff. And so people are using those smartphones and, you know, to do things like automatically track their, for diabetics, their hemoglobin A1C levels and, you know, blood pressures and things like that. So the kind of non-healthcare technology is being leveraged because they're finding healthcare-related applications. So that's pretty exciting, too.
Well, you hit on a real good one, Jim. When you talk about smartphones, what that translates in my mind is personalization. It's all about, and this is one of the disruption areas that I talk about a lot, is the trend toward me, quote, unquote, me. Healthcare is starting to be all about me and you, but when I look at it, it's me. Where am I in the healthcare continuum? And how are all these wow factors out there in technology going to help me? So the number one technology is a smartphone. It's on everyone's person daily. You always know where your smartphone is. And you see some exciting apps that say, well, you know, we can track your data, your health data, your fitness data, your wellness data. We can give you reports. So it's no longer an episode, an item in time. It's a longitudinal type of engagement. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's going to engage the patient, engage the person. You know, this marketing legend, Simon Schmark?
Sure.
His mantra is, it's not about the what or how, it's about the why. Why are we engaged? And as one of the examples is Apple, and how they have created an army, a support group that just loves the technology, and I'll stand in line for 2 hours to get my the first phone. So that's what has happened with the smartphone. It's become personal. It's mine. And now when you can marry data and input, it becomes a real powerful tool in the future, you know, for you and me. I mean, we can now do things real time.
You know, for the last few years, one of the big buzzwords has been population management, where you kind of treat groups of people. But you're talking more about precision medicine, where it's about my health care, not me being part of a group health care. And I think one example of that is kind of maybe a cultural shift enabled by this technology is the concept that patients could be incentivized to keep their blood pressure within range or to lose weight. And that kind of brings us around to some of the potential use cases of the most biggest buzzword of the last 2 years, which is blockchain. In your extensive business experience, Bud, I know you've seen a number of boom and bust technological business cycles. And we've often seen what was heralded as the next big thing and then it failed to deliver. I'd love to hear your view on the potential of what's blockchain or distributed ledger technology in healthcare. Who should we pay attention to? Where's the hype? What's real? What do you thought?
That's a big question, and it's on the topic of every event out there, right? Every healthcare event is now, well, what's blockchain and healthcare? Healthcare and blockchain, and healthcare. So it's on everyone's mind. Let me preface this by saying, you know, my time I spent with the genomics area and pharmacogenomics, precision medicine, really opened my eyes to what the value of having a blockchain engagement is. When I look at blockchain, I look at it as a marketplace for transactions. If there's something of value, data, money, currency rather, whatever, if you can monetize something and there's a transaction, you need a format, you need a platform, you need a technology that allows you to use that value, because the internet, as it's been positioned now, is the worldwide web of information, and blockchain is explained as the worldwide web of trust. And so where the internet lays off, not having a foundation for security, privacy, and trust, that's where blockchain comes in. And it's a platform. So when you have that platform, it allows people that generate data, all the technologies, the devices, et cetera, the EMRs, it provides a location to place information that can be shared and monetized if you want, or exchanged and stored in a way that is helpful to the outcomes of healthcare. Okay, so that I look at it as a marketplace, and it's a good one, and it's transforming these other industries right now. You know, fintech and supply chain,
absolutely,
et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
So you know, it's rolling into healthcare, and let me throw another item in here that. When you said incentivize, it does allow a very exciting area, which is wellness. You're seeing another disruptor in the industry, and that's bringing in non-healthcare players. Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, Google, Apple, Walmart, you name them. They're all involved in healthcare now, and they're, as we speak, are transforming what we're thinking about, how we think about delivering care. Walmart's going to put clinics on it in every parking lot eventually, and they're not going to be necessarily manned by an individual. They might be remote. Now all this so they're, you know, they're leveraging this, and why? Because they are a spender of healthcare dollars. And the reason Berkshire and those guys got together was because they own quite a bit of costs or associated with healthcare and employees. So you bring the employee into the equation, and it's not just when you get sick. It's getting the employee engaged in the wellness or the lifestyle change. And it's hard. It's hard to lose weight. It's hard to change what you're eating. It's difficult. But you connect that to marry that to the smartphone, you marry that to a incentive and earning power, you bring in an opportunity not just to give them more money in their paycheck, but you can tokenize their involvement. And what a better platform, if you think about it now, than incorporating blockchain, where you can monetize and put value to improvement. So the value is improving blood pressure, in reducing,
yes,
weight, et cetera. And that's value. So those values can now be translated into a token or currency. And so that's that. You brought that point up, but I think it's connected,
yeah,
into who's going to drive this. And it's not the hospitals. You know, it's not the doctors. It's going to be the people that are paying for health care and really care about the well-being of their employee base. It's an exciting area. It's a human resources area. It's a human health benefits area. It's a just a plain old, this is how we got to change our lives, guys. And you know, you go to Reddit, and you track that, and there's some of these little vignettes areas, and one is about what accomplishments, and people put on Reddit their weight reduction accomplishments.
Sure.
People are proud of that. So you see what's happening, and so it, you're right. The blockchain has more than just saying, well, we understand that it's one block and another block, and you can't change,
right,
it until the next 10 minutes. You know, that's good for technology, but what does it mean to you and me? What does it mean to me? Getting back to that concept that I've been pitching is, it's all about me, and it means I don't really look at what's behind the curtains. I really am interested in having a better way to manage me and my family. So you talk about genetics. Genetics is a fabulous area. Precision medicine, pharmacogenomics. Now I can put my whole genome sequence into play. When I go to the physician bucket and my family planning, I can now use my precise medicine, my precise genomics to direct or target my medicine and my wellness. So it's exciting. It is very exciting.
Let me ask you some more about genomics, because I've certainly heard about precision medicine and having our DNA sequenced and things. And so where are we in the real world on that? I mean, is it still, you know, a research thing and a possibility? Uh-huh. And how far in the future is all that stuff?
Good question. It's been around. Pharmacogenomics, which is the science of marking parts of your genome that are affected by pharmaceuticals. They have, I think lately it's 250, if not 300 markers now, that can identify how pharmaceuticals affect you versus me, how we metabolize them. So physicians can bring that to the forefront. And instead of saying, well, take this prescription, Jim, and if something doesn't seem right, call me, or we'll talk next week, and sure, we'll try it. Let's try this. You know, now I know what's going to happen. You don't metabolize this well, so I'm going to give, you know, you over-metabolize, so I'm going to give you less of an amount. Or you don't metabolize, you put it through your system, we're going to give you another. They can do this now. And I worked with
I was going to say, and so you're talking not only maybe about dosage levels, but also like what particular, perhaps, antidepressant, it would be more effective for you. That's what you're talking about.
In effect, they're doing wonderful things there, and it's expanding daily, if not monthly, if not daily. And that's pharmacogenomics. That's precision medicine today. And when you get into pharmaceutical companies, they're very interested in developing discoveries in research that have very precise meaning for doctors. Cancer is really advanced, as I understand. They're going ahead of the curve now in terms of using genomics to help treatment. And I'm not going to pretend I'm smart enough to tell you all that's going on there, but they're far enough ahead in that realm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's today, it's going to grow. Let me put that in perspective. Today, the industry is about precision medicine is about a $43 billion annual industry. By 2026, it's going to triple in size. It'll be over $150 billion industry globally. Now put that in, sit back and think about that. And that's just not genomics, but that's the whole infrastructure behind it. You know, before you and I can go to the doctor, Jim, and say, well, I want my medicine because I can give you my genome. So you go, well, I don't know what to order. You know, the doctor has to be trained. They have to have an undercurrent of, they have a sequencing company that they have to hire, or are they going to do the sequencing themselves? Or can you transfer those to another hospital or another specialist? So there's an infrastructure that has to be in place, and that's where blockchain comes in.
I really
think they're part of the infrastructure. They're going to be the utility that genomics is going to use to get in the right hands for research and get in the right hands for my health. It's going to be the platform. And there's four or five companies that are really doing this now in a big way. And, you know, it's like everything else. It has to catch up a little bit.
Sure. Do you mind naming any of those that might be on the tip of your tongue, Bob?
Well, I think you interviewed Encryption.
Sure did.
Mm-hmm. And that's one company that's it really led the way. I worked with Dr. Kopsel, and a wonderful man, brilliant guy, really put this in perspective of a need for a trusted blockchain. Have the trusted aspect and privacy and security of blockchain, and bring it into not just genomics but the ethical part of it. You know, value. You know, so that's one company. There's Nebula.
Yes.
There's Luna. There's Shavom.
They're springing up all over the place. Well, one thing you touch on there is the value of that data. So I go to Ancestry.com or 23andMe or any of the other consumer testing entities, and they tell me who my third cousin might be, or maybe have a tendency for some health risk or something like that. But the real value in those companies, their real business model, is licensing that data. Hundreds of millions of dollars. They're paid by pharmaceutical companies. And so I know part of this movement has to do with, and you mentioned encryption, and there are a few others, is that you control your own DNA data file and decide when it's licensed, and you get paid for it. You get monetized, whether it's with typically with tokens, because it's easy on a blockchain. And that whole area of ownership of your data is something that's just kind of new, just coming to people's awareness that money's being made off their healthcare data and their DNA data.
Yeah, well, it's not a bad thing. I mean, it's bad if you have a HeLa gene, which is really unique, and you're foregoing hundreds of thousands of dollars. But most people, the value of what I'm going to sell my gene for in the open market is, I'm not sure there's really, so I'm not going to put that into my will when I die, What I will do is tell you that the value, I think, is, again, coming back, what does it mean to me? How do I manage my health?
Mm-hmm.
Now I can communicate to my physician. So I have a 23andMe, and believe me, 23andMe has their own revenue model. You know, you can also extend your genomic information to companies they affiliate with that'll do fitness, that'll be nutrition based on, and they'll all have snippets of take snippets and bring things into perspective. And that's fun stuff. It's consumered, and it gets everyone interested. The value of owning it is, I think, goes beyond not foregoing money. It is mine. I don't necessarily need to have my personal information ethically in the public realm.
Absolutely, sure.
And I think philosophically, that's where Kopsel comes from. And, there's some real reasons there that make you and me important. And so I don't know how much your genes are worth. Did you find out from David Kopsel how much your genes are worth?
No, but I've uploaded my data file there. We could look at what some of the consumer DNA testing companies are licensing those for, and we know it's a significant amount of money. No doubt about that.
Yeah, but also they're going to get tremendous research out of it. Whoever's buying it is going to also, discover something that is going to be magnificent.
Well, I agree with you totally. And those are commercial entities that are going to make a gigantic amount of money.
Yeah, good. I wish I was part of them.
You
start your program with freedom and capitalism. That's what it's about. It's about getting these ideas into the marketplace, and sooner or later they're gonna massage down to the winners and all different types of answers. There's a lot happening out there that right now, I always think of it as the Big Bang happened 2 years ago with blockchain, right?
Yep.
And
mm-hmm.
the Big Bang, and we're just 2 years away, and the primordial soup isn't even cooled off yet. We don't even have
the... You know, that's a good way to describe it. I usually describe it as a Petri dish, you know, and we don't know what kind of mold and bacteria it's going to grow in there. It's going to be some good stuff and some bad stuff. Yeah.
Well, you're right. That's a good one. And so the excitement of around blockchain is what it's going to allow people to do in healthcare.
Yes.
I come from the practical side. I've been executing big time strategies into healthcare for large companies in my past. I've had the experience of having the responsibility for executing go-to-market strategies that surrounding technologies. Way back, it was MRI.
Sure.
It was telemedicine and remote care. So things are changing. My message, I think, when I speak is it's the opportunity surrounding the technology that we need to also get excited about, the infrastructure.
You know,
and there's a lot of business opportunities surrounding the infrastructure.
Sure.
How are we going to, train these people? There's, Geisinger and Intermountain Care and others
They got it.
They're already putting together the continuum of care for precision medicine from the clinic all the way to the research and the sequencing. So they
I'm going to say, we're almost out of time, so we're going to leave it there. And, with that, for everybody to keep an idea of the opportunities around that infrastructure, I hear that clearly. Before we run out of time.
That's another topic we can talk about.
We will
really
again.
Excited.
Bud, tell me how someone can contact you if they want to get in touch with you.
Well, they can contact you, and you can get in touch with me, or my email is zboro @AOL.com.
Okay. Well, to our audience, thanks for joining me on this episode of the Tate Chronicles. I offer a special salute to my guest, Bud Zabrowski. Bud, thanks for coming aboard today.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too. You can find more information on this show's program page at healthcarenowradio.com. Until we meet again, here's wishing you smooth sailing and safe harbors.